Well, we're normally very fond of complaining about the weather around here, but for the last month we've had practically no rain and more than our fair share of sunshine. It's been like summer recently, so really haven't had anything to groan about. Fortunately, we do have a UK election coming up, so we can complain about politicians instead, can't we? That's one thing I've noticed about this side of the Atlantic. We're very free in criticism of our politicians, unlike what I see of the United States, where a lot of people seem to hold them in awe, especially the president. Any criticism of the president seems to be taken as criticism of the nation. As you've probably gathered, there's a royal wedding about to take place in London. You've heard of William and Kate, I'm sure. And although this is a great opportunity for the press to go over the top reporting anything remotely connected to it, they're not averse to criticising the monarchy and even questioning the need for such an institution in this day and age. We regard that as one of our basic freedoms, to moan about those who lead us. We're not being disloyal or trying to bring down the country. That attitude applies in both parts of Ireland and probably in most of Europe too. But from what I read on the internet and listen to in the media, yes, we can listen to US TV news over here too. There seems to be an attitude towards anyone who protests against government decisions that they're anti-American. Kind of reminds me of the McCarthy era. For instance, the word socialist seems to be regarded as meaning communist, and a communist is apparently the next best thing or worst thing to a terrorist bomber. So someone protesting for basic workers' rights, such as collective bargaining for teachers and other public employees, is suddenly regarded as almost an enemy of the state. How on earth could that ever happen? Over here, we can make fun of or criticise our leaders and government without anyone regarding it as abnormal. We don't ever put them on a pedestal. They're only men or women, after all. Remember, Ireland back in 1880 was the place where the word boycott was invented. Charles Boycott was the land agent of an absentee landowner in the west of Ireland, who after a series of rent increases and poor harvests, refused to reduce his tenants' rents and began to evict those tenants who couldn't pay. Another land agent was murdered, but Charles Stuart Parnell, the nationalist politician, who was himself a Protestant landowner, incidentally with an American mother, advised against any violence, but instead proposed that everyone in the area should ostracise the estate. Work stopped in the fields and in the big house. Local businesses stopped trading with him, and the postman even refused to deliver his letters. Boycott was unable to hire anyone to harvest the crops he was responsible for, until eventually some orange men from Cavan and Monaghan volunteered to carry out the work. Even though the boycott was non-violent and remained so, these men were escorted to Mayo by 1,000 police and soldiers, making it a very expensive harvest, and the boycott still continued. Soon the term boycott was being used in the Times and other publications, and entered the English language as a term for organised isolation, and the action has become a very popular, non-violent way of showing our displeasure against governments and corporations, who otherwise have very little regard for the poor, the weak, the environment or anything else. Today we have several international corporations which have more power than many small nations, and who often believe themselves to be above any local laws or restraints. Often the only way to influence such corporations is by hitting them where it hurts them most, the bottom line.